passed away, I was tripping. I was 51, and I was saying, well, dang. And I was really tripping. And some of you may not know this, but some of you may. You know, I took my wife and my four kids, and we found us a therapist. Huh? Yes, we did. Because I thought, like, you know, if I'm tripping, maybe my kid's tripping too. We got to the therapist, and they had their own issues, but they weren't tripping on that. I was the only one tripping about dying before I got 57. And even that night before I turned 57, I was like, okay, Lord, I got to make it. I got to make it tonight. I got to make it tonight. I think if I can make it to 57, I can live. Amen. You know, even though you walk by faith, the enemy sometimes sprinkles these words of doubt in your mind. Right? And you got to push through all that. Right? You got to talk with people, look at your word, you know, and it's good to be in community. That they can encourage you. Oh, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. And so I'm here. Amen. Amen. I was going to wear it today, but next Sunday, you guys were so kind. You bought me two nice robes, right? I'm going to wear it next Sunday. I'm going to wear one next Sunday for first Sunday. So come back. You're going to see that robe. I was looking like a bishop when I looked at the robe. Yeah. Today, I want to talk with you about the go. Everyone say go. This is my final sermon in this series entitled Becoming a Welcoming Church. And the word God and the word gospel and good or good news all begin with the same two letters. G-O. Go. Tell your neighbor, go.
Go.
There are some Americans who spend a ton of money on building what we would call bunkers. The reason behind this is that in the case of disaster, they want to be safe and they want to be comfortable for a long period of time. I remember back in the year of 1999, and people were just becoming unglued because of the year 2000, and they called it Y2K. And they said that all the computers are going to shut down. If you drive in a car, when it clicks over to midnight, your car going to be out of control. My father told me, boy, get you all your money and get your safe deposit box. Put that money in a box. That's Y2K is coming. And so we were all, you know, anticipating something bigger is going to happen at Y2K. And then we were in church that night and nothing happened. Huh? Nothing happened. You see, there's nothing wrong with being safe or being comfortable, but when this idea is tied to a church's philosophy, whether it's spoken or unspoken, it can prevent kingdom expansion. Let me say it again. There's nothing wrong with being safe and comfortable. But when this idea becomes a philosophy of a church, it prevents kingdom expansion because you just want to huddle in and stay with us for no more. Amen? Most churches in America are not closed to outsiders. Yet many of our churches have a bunker mentality. A bunker mentality. We stay safe and we stay warm on our church property. Are you listening to me? we want people to come visit us, and we want them even to get involved, but they have to come to us. That's a bunker mentality. There's room for you in here, but y'all got to come. Everyone say go. As I have stated in the past on numerous occasions, 95% of the people who need to hear the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ won't come to our church bunker. So if 95% of them won't come, that means we have to what? We have to go. We as the children of God must come out of our church bunker and our place of comfort and go. Go where the people are and extend the invitation. I've told staff that next year when the weekly farmers market is on First Street, we're going to have a table out there because we need to go. Amen? I've also told them, and Brother Grant is here, to resurrect again the first Friday on First Street in December, where we had a living nativity scene years ago, and we want to do it again because there are 1,000 people up and down First Street on that first Friday of December. We need to go. 95% won't come to here, so we need to do what? How about this side? We need to do what? Go. That's right, go. Now watch this. You may never go to Haiti. You may never go to Africa. You may never go to India, all right? And this go is not about geography, all right? Not about geography, all right? No, it's not about that. It's not about going across the country, all right? Even though a number of us have gone, it's not, the go is not about that. You see, for your go, it looks like getting up from your desk at work, leaving your cubicle and going to your coworker and sitting with them at lunchtime. For others, it may look like going to Starbucks on purpose. How many go to Starbucks? How many actually sit in there, you just grab a drink and go? Good. Some of you may need to go and sit with your Bible, believing that God is going to send someone who needs to hear the gospel to that Starbucks. I want you to know something. God is all about advancing his kingdom. He's all about witnessing to others. And if you put yourself in a position, say, God, I'm ready. If you send someone to me, I'm ready to share the good news with them. I'll tell you what, God will do it. But you have to go. We can no longer be satisfied with our bunker mentality. Amen? Let me read this to you. Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Go there with me. Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. It says, next, Paul and Silas, verse 6, travel through the area of Phrygia and Galatia because the Holy Spirit had prevented them from preaching the word in the province of Asia at that time. Give me the next one. Then coming to the borders of Mysia, they headed north for the province of Bithynia. But again, the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go there. Now watch this. Watch this. You see here, Paul is not waiting in his prayer closet for God to send him. Paul is on the move, and God is at times stopping and redirecting him, but Paul is going. Paul is going. He's moving. He tried to go here. The Spirit of God said, no, don't go here. So he redirected him somewhere else. Paul is on the go. Some of us, and maybe not us in here, but some Christians, are hiding behind the phrase, I'm waiting on God. I'm just waiting on the Lord to give me direction. Year two, I'm just waiting on the Lord to give me direction. Year five, I'm still waiting, brother. No, go! If you're heading the wrong direction, this is what the Spirit of God will do. He will redirect you. But you got to go. Amen? We are hiding behind the phrase, I'm waiting on God. You see, you're not waiting, really. You're hiding. You're hiding. You don't want to go. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28. And look at verses 18 through 20. Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, do what? No, that's too quiet. Therefore, what?
Go.
Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Listen, he has told us to go. Go. Go with me to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. You have that? Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Let me pull it up. I'm going to read from the Amplified Version. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. And it says, but you will receive power and ability when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses to me, to tell people about me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the ends of the earth. Meaning this, at home, in your neighborhood, in your cities, and around the world. Let me say this. The greatest platform for witness you'll ever have is in your home. One of my prayers is this, that for my kids and for my grandkids, that I would not misrepresent what it means to live a Christ-like life in front of them. Listen to me. That I would not misrepresent what it means to live a Christ-like life in front of them. Because listen, they see you. They see you. There's no need for me to come here on a Sunday morning and shout and raise my hand if they know at home I'm cussing everybody out. Amen? Amen. And I've said this once 4 years ago. I'm going to say it again. I am ashamed. Yeah, I'm ashamed. We cannot use crazy language towards our kids. And then claim to be men and women of God. Listen, we all got sin. And that might be one of yours. But you need to lay that at the altar. Are you listening to me? Hmm? We have preached for weeks now. Well, let me stop. I was in a small group with some kids years ago, and my son was in this small group with me. And one of the other kids asked my son, your daddy be cussing you out? And my son said, no, he ain't cussing you out. And they looked bewildered. And I said to myself, is it that crazy out there? Be careful. We have preached for weeks now about being a welcoming church, but there has to be someone to welcome. We have to extend the invitation. What prevents us from the go? What prevents us from going? I'll give you 3 points. What prevents us from going? Write this down. Number one, sometimes it's prosperity. What prevents us from going? Sometimes it's prosperity. You see, prosperity makes us feel comfortable. Huh? Don't say amen to this. But think about your past Thanksgiving. And think about how much food was left. Don't say amen, just think about it. Think about the temptation that after a day or two of it, you decide to throw some of it away. See, prosperity makes us feel comfortable. So comfortable, what you have, you feel like you can throw away what you've purchased. What others really would love to have, because you're so prosperous, you throw it away. Don't say amen. Don't look at each other. Just look straight at me. When we are at a place of comfort, what's this? We become hesitant to do anything that might disturb that comfort. When we're at a place of comfort, we are hesitant to do anything that might disturb that comfort. I will not tell my coworkers about Jesus, because if I do, I might lose my job. If I lose my job, I'll lose my comfort. Sometimes prosperity prevents us from going because it disturbs what we have going on. And I don't want this to be disturbed. Amen? Yesterday, we were at home, and the TV service we subscribed to, their receiver went on the blink. It disturbed my comfort. Are you with me? It disturbed my comfort. And me, like a fool, spent over an hour on the phone with them, pushing a button, hitting the remote, unplugging and plugging back in, because that's my comfort. And something has disturbed my comfort. Amen? We don't like our comfort to be disturbed. No, we don't. No, we don't. Over an hour. Have you ever got so accustomed to something that when it's gone, even though in the whole scheme of life, not a huge issue, but when it's gone, you feel out of pocket, so to speak? And so Ola and I, we just sat down and, The service was disconnected, right? I couldn't use it. Okay, wow. It was like our comfort had been disrupted. My wife's phone went on the blink. And she made this comment, "I ain't got no phone. I ain't got no TV." All she had was me, right? And I guess that wasn't enough. So I hemmed and hawed and looked around and we someone had blessed us with, I don't know if blessed or not, with some internet, Hulu. Because, man, that comfort, they disturbed our comfort. And sometimes that prevents us from going. Amen? Number two, watch this, what prevents us from going. Number two, sometimes it's busyness. Okay? You say, I don't have time to go. You see, reaching others for Jesus will take time. If sharing the gospel, if reaching people for Jesus is important, then many of us will need to rethink what we do with what I will call disposable time. Watch this. You got to eat. You got to sleep. You got to work. All right? The hours outside of those is what we call disposable time. And we need to rethink how we're going to use it. Now, some of you may get mad, but listen to this. Rethink your activities and rearrange them based on priority. Now watch this. When you list them by priority, where do you put the part that's called the go? You got to eat, you got to sleep, you got to go to work. Outside of that, there's disposable time, all right? Look at your activities, arrange them based on priority. After you arrange them based on priority, look, where do you have the go? Is it near the top or at the top? Is it in the middle or is it at the bottom? And listen, with this, you have to be honest with yourself. Don't write on your paper the answer you think God wants to hear. Because God knows already. Oh, yeah, I'm going to put witness right here on the top. Stop lying. But you need to rearrange it because sometimes it's the busyness that keeps us from going and we become extremely busy. Amen? And busy with things, then watch this. Some of them have no eternal significance. Like me spending an hour on the phone yesterday. Had no eternal significance. In fact, what you could say is, I wasted an hour. Look at your schedule. Can you rearrange things to give you time to do the go? Sometimes the go happens organically, meaning this, you just happen to be at a place, at a store, and you see someone hurting or crying, and God says to you, go up to them and ask them how they're doing. All right. Sometimes it happens organically. I'm not saying that it doesn't. Sometimes it does. But other times you have to plan and make time to do it. If reaching people for Jesus is important. Amen. Amen. Number three, what prevents us from the go? Sometimes it's faithlessness. Faithlessness. Faithlessness is an obstacle to our passion for the go. Do we really believe that the gospel message has power to change lives? The Apostle Paul said this, that the gospel is the power of salvation. to the Jew first and to the Greek. This word right here has the power to change lives. Listen, you and I can't do it, but the power that's in the gospel can change a man's life. When the power of Jesus Christ is preached, it can convict and challenge and change people's lives, but you got to be able to share it. Amen? You got to be able to share it. But you got to believe, you got to believe that it works. It has power. This word of God is alive. It's alive. I know it to be true. You can be in conversation with people and all of a sudden the Spirit of the Lord will remind you of a verse that is very appropriate for that conversation. But you got to put it in you first. Amen. What do we need to remember when we go? So we're going to go. What do we need to remember when we go? Number one, sharing Christ demands a verbal testimony. You see, your life opens the door, but you have to walk in. You must open your mouth. People who say their belief is personal and private are not following Christ Jesus. I'm saying it again. People say, well, that's my private faith. You're not following the Lord Jesus. There has to be a sharing of what Christ has done for us and for you. All right? Sharing Christ demands a verbal testimony. I know people have said that your life should speak for you, and it should. It opens the door. But at some point in time, you have to open your mouth and share what Christ has done for you, how he saved you, how he's delivered you. Amen? There's a video clip I want to show you guys, and it's just powerful testimony. And before you show that clip, I want to say this. As we are becoming a welcoming church, everyone is welcome. Everyone is welcome. All right? Everyone is welcome. Sometimes people think that in order to come, they have to get themselves ready first. Not so. Just come. Amen? And a welcoming church will welcome you. Yeah, you got issues. We all got issues. Amen? You've got sin. We've all got sin. Amen? But come and allow God to piece by piece shape you and mold you into the vessel he's designed you to be. Amen? Watch this video.
To church with her pretty much every Sunday for the first 9-ish years of my life. And I just distinctly remember things like when people would get mad at her, she would like not respond. So seeing her life and always hearing about Jesus and hearing about God, it gave me really early convictions about who he was early. I was always attracted to women. I just didn't acknowledge it because I knew it was wrong. It was just kind of this underlying temptation. 17 was probably when that became more of an attraction to me than men. I was at a homecoming dance at another high school, and this young lady that I knew, she flirted with me. And that was the first time a woman ever flirted with me. It felt natural. That's honestly the best way I can describe it. I was like, this is what I want. Gay clubs, I found interest in those really quickly. Gay pride parades. I was having fun, but a deep soul satisfaction, I didn't have that. I used to tell my girlfriends the truth. I was like, yeah, you know this is sin, right? And they were like, why are you gay? I was like, I don't know. But I know this is not right, to know so much about the truth about God and then to continue to live contrary to it, I was always in this constant state of conviction. I was 19. I was in my room. It was as if every thought I had was just interrupted by this really strong thought that convicted me all at the same time. And it felt as if God was showing me that the sins that I loved and were in would kill me. I would die and go to hell. It's a heavy weight to know that you're a sinner and God is holy. But if that's in the Bible and that's considered true, then the other truths in the Bible about Jesus being God, Jesus being Savior, Jesus being willing to forgive those who turn from their sins, these are both true. And so I just need to believe this. It was really that simple. In my mind, I just kind of had this conversation with God. Like, I don't really want to be straight. Like, I equated salvation with just being heterosexual overnight. And so it was just like, I don't want to be straight. But then I felt like God was leading me to the fact, like, I can change your desires. I can give you the desire for a man. Surely I'm God. And then I just considered everything I loved and its consequences. Like, I really weighed the cost. Yeah, I really saw that I was holistically sinful. This one area just didn't need Jesus. All of me was messed up. Homosexuality is not the only issue plaguing a person. Sin is the issue plaguing a person. This homosexuality is just an outworking of that nature. I just saw like weed and stealing and pride, anger, and arrogance and drunkenness, and everything was not worth it. Like, it just was overwhelmingly obvious that everything that I loved would not profit me anything but hell. You know what I'm saying? I saw that God was offering me life, and I knew I had no choice. I either choose God or I choose death. I told God, I said, what you're calling me to do, I cannot do on my own. I've tried before to try to live holy, and it didn't work. But I know enough about you to know that you'll help me. And so I broke up with my girlfriend maybe a day or two later, because I had to. And then that was one of the hardest decisions I had to make. But so everything after that was easy. Changed my clothes a week later, got into a church in 2 weeks. Returning to church was cool. They were like really loving people. It was like a family. It was very difficult the first 2 years. Like, God kept me. I think he kept me because I had a community around me. If I did not have Christians around me to help me and pour into me and encourage me, I would have been doomed for the most part. Who God says I am defines me. Though I may have temptations, though I may have struggles, but I may see a woman that's beautiful and be tempted. Like, I have temptations to curse people out too. I have temptations to get drunk. I have temptations to watch porn. But that's just the human experience. The Christian is not void of temptation. The temptation got less powerful over time, just as I grew in knowing and loving Jesus. But in that place, I didn't want a relationship with a man either. But over time, probably 3 or so years into my walk is when I started getting attraction towards Preston. It was weird because it wasn't, I'm attracted to this man. It was like, I'm just attracted to him and all that he is. And he just happens to be a man. And so because I'm attracted to him, I'm more than willing to love his masculinity too. I think on my wedding day, it was just kind of surreal. Everything in my life has always just been so, God, you desire for this marriage and this wedding to just really show off your gospel. And I'm really grateful to be a part of that presentation. 5 weeks after my honeymoon, I found out I was pregnant. I was looking at her and I thought to myself, if I chose to stay in the lifestyle I was in, I would never have her. I wouldn't have her. It wouldn't be Eden. And I just cried and thanked God for allowing me to experience that. The advice I would give to a parent is, first and foremost, to really trust God. Because even with my mother and my aunts and people, the Christians around me, they may have seen me and seen me in my condition and think, oh, it's hopeless. But they didn't know that I was running into people on the street that were convicting me. They didn't know I was seeing certain commercials that were reminding me of God. They didn't know that I would hear certain gospel songs randomly. Just be faithful. Keep loving them. God changed me by showing me himself. God is aware of what's happening. It's not foreign to him. His son died for them. He loves your children more than you do.
Amen. 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 You see, sharing Christ demands a verbal testimony. Amen. Right. And no matter what your hang up is, no matter what your sin is, it doesn't make a difference. Just come, because God and him alone has the ability to change your life. You can't change it on your own. Amen. You need the help of the Lord. Our part here at the local church is to be welcoming. Yeah, I know you got an issue. You drink too much. Still come. Amen. I know you get high too often. Still come. I know you have this issue with your gender. Still come. Because we are going to be this welcoming church. All right. Now, people will not stay the same, because God is God and God's going to work on their heart. Amen. And listen to this. You don't have to judge them. Amen. You don't have to judge them. Because let you know this, God is speaking to their spirit and saying, this is wrong. You need to stop this. And God will give each one the ability by his grace to change. Amen. We have to become welcoming to welcome in. Amen. But it means we have to go. So sharing Christ demands a verbal testimony. Number two, don't be discouraged by a person's resistance. All right, to your sharing. Responding to Christ requires the work of God. And so when you share your testimony and people seem resistant, don't be discouraged. The Spirit of the Lord is speaking to them. He did to me at the age of 19. Mother had stopped really being on me about giving my life to Jesus, but the Spirit of the Lord was speaking to me. And I tell you this before, he was telling me, listen, boy, if you die, you know where you're going. Oh, yes, Lord. And he drove me to him, all right, in the Spirit of God that will convict and convince people of their need for the Lord Jesus. What we have to do is love them and welcome them. Amen. Number three is my last one. Opportunities, remember this, opportunities are all around us. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, one of my favorite verses. Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. It says, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. God has gone before us to prepare opportunities for us to speak the truth of the gospel. It's already been set up. All you have to do is follow God's plan. Yeah. So go with me to Proverbs chapter 3. You don't have it on the screen, but Proverbs chapter 3. In verse 5, most of you know this by heart, but let's read it anyway. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Yeah. Do you have it? All right. I'm going to read it from the Amplified. I'm going to read verses 5 and 6. And it says, trust in and rely confidently on the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. Have you ever gotten to a conversation halfway into it and you thought you understood the context? And then you interjected something in and people looked at you like, we ain't even talking about that. Huh? Don't rely on your own understanding, because you don't know what's going on. Amen? In all your ways, know and acknowledge and recognize him. And here's the cool part. If we do this first part, he would do this. And he will make your path straight and smooth,
removing obstacles that block your way. Meaning this, if you acknowledge him, God will direct your path. So if you acknowledge the Lord, he will direct you where to go and when to get there. Not in my own timing, but his timing. Opportunities are all around us. He's created them for us to do. Amen. It's like every morning we get up and the Spirit of God is our guide. We say, okay, where are we going today? And the Spirit of the Lord will direct you at your work. Sometimes he'll even direct you how to get to work. Amen. He'll direct you who to speak to and who not to speak to. Amen. But you got to acknowledge him. Amen. Glory to God. Listen, opportunities are all around us, but we must take advantage of the opportunities. Glory to God. So I may have shared this with you before. 35 years ago, I went to church and I spotted Ola. She didn't see me. And then I asked about her, right? And so they said, yeah, her name is Ola. I said, okay. And then they set it up, so to speak, for a Sunday. And I was going to meet her. All right? So they set it up. All right? And the meeting was that for that Sunday. And so she came to the back door of their church where the kitchen was. And I went to the back door to meet her. Right? How silly would I have been if I went to the back door and did this? You see, the opportunity was set up by a friend of mine, but I had to take advantage of the opportunity. Amen? And with my swag and everything that I had, I just said, hey, girl. Hey. Hey, come on now. Yeah, and she fell deeply in love with me, of course. So God sets up the opportunities, all right? Right? But we must take advantage of them. So God will set the time for you to be a witness, but you have to open your mouth, all right? All right? Being a witness demands you share your testimony, what God has done for you. This young lady shared her testimony. Her testimony is going to help thousands of young people. Amen? You have to share your testimony. All right? Don't trip on whether they resist it or not. That's fine. But the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to a person's heart. As she said in the video, there are certain songs that will play on the radio, certain things that see on commercials that God would use to convict her of her lifestyle. I want you to know, God is in control of this. Amen? He wants people who are willing to allow him to use them as he reconciles this lost world back to himself. All right? Finally, we have to be welcoming. Because when God draws people, if we're not welcoming, we'll push them away. Amen? We cannot be a bunker-minded church. We have to go. So that means tomorrow at your job, be willing to go. The extra mile to talk with someone at the water cooler at the lunch break, be able to share your testimony of what God has done for you. Don't be caught up in staying comfortable. All right? Be willing to be in discomfort in order to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Stand to your feet, everyone. Can we go in to pray? And I want to say this to anyone here today. It doesn't make a difference what the sin issue is. Sin is sin. Don't try to get yourself ready before you come to Jesus. All right? Just come. He and he alone has the ability to change your life. It may not be a sexual issue. It may be a lying issue. It may be a stealing issue.
and made it. Doesn't make a difference what it is, all right? The enemy tries to fool you into thinking that, oh, you got to stop doing this first before you come. No, you just come. And God is with open arms ready to receive you and to write your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And through the process of time, God will begin to, piece by piece, make certain adjustments in your life that are more pleasing to Him. I want you to know that God loves you just as you are. Yet He loves you not to leave you as you are. Every eye closed, every head bowed for a moment. If the Lord is speaking to you because you have said to yourself on many occasions, let me stop doing this first and then I'll get right. I got to get my life together before I come back to the church. I gotta do this before I come. God wants you to come today with all of your sin, with all of your hang up, with all of your issues. It doesn't make a difference what sin it is, what your issue is. It doesn't. God loves you and wants to save you and wants to renew your life. And so if you hear or sense the Spirit of the Lord speaking to you today and challenging you to just come as you are and give yourself to Him with all of your issues, I'm going to ask you to just come meet me here at this altar. If that's you, if God is speaking to your heart, if God's not speaking to you, okay, but if God is speaking to your heart, just come meet me here at the altar, because I believe God is speaking to someone today. You're trying to get right first. Don't just come as you are. Don't believe the lies of the enemy. You cannot get yourself right. I'll give you another moment if you're here today. May be speaking to you. Yes. 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 Just come with all of your issues, with all of your struggles. Doesn't make a difference. Just come. Trying to make yourself right. There's still time to come. Let Him change your life. Yes. And listen, you may be already saved here today, but still you've been struggling with issues to the point that at times you feel so unworthy and condemned. I want you to just come as well. If that's you, and we will pray for you. You could be saved already, but still dealing with issues. Here's your opportunity. Yes. God welcomes you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 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 Hallelujah. Yes. 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 Come. 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 Hallelujah. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. You've come to this altar as this meeting place in expectation of having this encounter with God. And I want you to know that God is present now in this place. And it matters not what battle that you're in. Matters not what battle you're in. Matters not what battle you're in. The God that we're talking about is able to sustain and to deliver and to heal and to set free. And Father, right now you see this men and women who are here at this altar, and others who are in their seats, oh God, as well, who have battles and struggles they're dealing with. And they've come to this altar, they've come to this gathering place, oh God, saying, I can't do it on my own. I need you. I need you. I'm not ashamed to let you know that I need you. I don't have it all together yet. I'm still confused and messed up at times. I need you. And so, God, here I am at this altar, at this meeting place, oh God, saying, I need you. I need you. And God, you promise to meet me here. You said you would never leave me nor forsake me, that you are my comforter, oh God, my helper, my strength, my refuge, oh God. And these men and women, God, they need your strength for you to help them, to you be their refuge, their strong tower, oh God. Be to them what no one else can. Mother, father, brother, sister, you're the only one that can help. And so, God, right now, in the name of Jesus, we cast every burden. We cast every care. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yeah. I hear the Lord saying this, cast every child that you have on me. I hear the Lord saying to some mom, some dad, cast every child upon me. Yeah. Every care, every burden, every sickness and disease, we cast it on you, oh God. Because you care for us. You're our hope. You are everything. And God, this is why we pray, because we acknowledge we can't do it on our own. We need you. So restore, heal, deliver, set free, regulate our minds, hallelujah. Put in us, oh God, a desire for more of you. God, you created these vessels. Take away the unhealthy desires, oh God, and place a desire for you in us. And Father, I just believe by faith that you've heard our prayers. Hallelujah. And that even now you have dispatched angels to answer each prayer. Hallelujah. Setting every captive free. Lifting up every hung down head. Making strong every feeble knee. God, you are doing it now. Because you love us. And by faith, oh God, we believe that it's done. In Jesus' name we pray. Now watch this. Give God a hand praise. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You are delivered. You are set free. You're made whole. Hallelujah. Come on, shout to the Lord. Come on, shout to the Lord. Shout to the Lord. Hallelujah. You are glorious, oh God. You are wonderful, oh God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hail, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't go, Jamie. Stay right there. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jamie, in our Sunday school class, the word came up, comforter. This paraclete, this one who walks alongside of you. I know what you've told me. And what you told me has been a lot. And how you're able to even walk is the tribute to the comforter that walks alongside of you. And one day you may want to testify to this church at your leisure, but you are leaning on the Lord. Hallelujah. Because he is your strong tower. Yes, and you know this already. I'm going to remind you that he said he's never going to leave you. Never, never going to leave you nor forsake you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, yes. Never leave you nor forsake you. Hallelujah. 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 Yes, yes. And I hear this word, joy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the Lord reminded me of a few weeks ago, and joy gives you the ability to see past what's going on right now. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Sometimes you feel like a prophetic spirit be on you. Right? You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you feel like that. Come here. Come. Destiny's mom, come here. Come here, please. Yeah, Destiny's mom, come here, please. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. Get right here. I can only imagine, but the Lord knows for sure, the road you've been traveling. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, it's been hard.
at times it has seemed like he was not there. But he's been there. And he has always had a hold of you. Yes. Even at times when it seemed like maybe you've let go of him, he's never let go of you. Hallelujah. Yes. For you are his child. You belong to him. No matter what it feels like or sounds like or looks like, you are his. Hallelujah. And you belong to him in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And he has you in the very palm of your hand. Hallelujah. And what he has in the palm of his hand, no man, no situation can displace what he has in his hands. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. Rest in the Lord. He has you. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Who's going? You closing us out today? Come on up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. Hallelujah. Are you glad that you're here today? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, Cole, give us a closing prayer, sir.